Yes. Saturday. Busted pencils, fully leaded. Education talk. Educated educators. Talking education. I know. Yeah, Saturday, 3 o'clock. Civic media people. Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. Welcome all of the new stations that have been added. Yes, civic media continues to grow, not like a fungus, but a, well, fungi, fungals, just an awesome place to be. Johnny Lupinacci, you're there. Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slucker, loving that we're here together to spend one full hour busting pencils. But Johnny, man, first week back, I know we had some conversations, you know, hey, back to college. You would say, so Johnny's a professor, higher education. I'm an administrator in higher education. This week, back to school truly began. And I got to spend today actually doing one of my favorite events at any institution of higher education, move-in day, working with all of those freshmen and their parents and their grandparents and their aunts and uncles that show up in the cars packed so that they can't see out any rearview mirror. And the father who told me today, going, I know she ain't going to get it all in the room, but you know what? I figured, let her bring it here so she can get her first lesson on how not to pack. I was like, there's my man. Love that. But Jacob, you know, move-in day, Johnny, I said, I've been in five higher education institutions. Every one of them, I love participating in that because there's something about the energy and excitement. New parents dropping off their kids, kids being all excited. And looking at the, you know, I'm going to use a word now that we're not allowed to use anymore. The diversity of students, parents, and families that show up on a campus to begin that journey in higher education, that in and of itself is a celebration to see how many different types of kids, families, grandparents, uncles, you know, friends show up. So I don't know. I'm excited. I know we got a show with a great guest, but I just wanted to kind of feed off of that first to say back to school, higher education, move-in days if you're out there. And parents, you know, that one parent out there, I know you're listening. I'm sorry I made you park over at the baseball field and walk back 20 minutes. But hey, it was a good day, and I found you a shuttle on the way back so that you didn't have to walk back to your car. Johnny, that's what's going on in my world, man.
Well, Tim, I love it, man. Like I said, it was silly week on campus. That's syllabus week, you know, first classes. And we talked about first classes, yeah. Not riding first class, most certainly, but, you know, attending or running your first class of the semester. And Jacob, producer's choice drop yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, you know, go find that podcast. It's always a delightful episode. But we talked about, you know, activities that start off class and sort of our memories of those and different styles and angles we take. So, you know, we're at end of the first week. We're in the throes of hockey tryouts this weekend. Ooh. And, you know, it's going. Things are moving. You know, it's officially almost fall. Mm. Hey, you know, if you're not back in school yet and you're listening, soak every last bit out of those last days of summers. And if you started up, enjoy that good weather. Because it'll be around for a little bit longer, but you know, we won't call it fall yet, but we're creeping up on it. Mm. And Tim, you know, this is a great one because it's Saturday, you know, we're hanging out, we're chilling. Listener, you're out there busting pencils with us and we got a guest. So let's stop the jibber jabber between me and you, because we could do this for a whole hour. Let's get to our guests and let's dive in, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, say, you know, we bust the pencils, you know, try to make sure that we have guests, a diversity of guests that show up. And, you know, as people know, they might refer to me as, Tim's the social media stalker who gets the busted pencils guests. Well, kind of like that. I feel like LinkedIn isn't like real social media. It's kind of like the social media for grownups. And came across this guest on LinkedIn. Saul coming out with a brand new podcast, lots of work in the past. I said, Jacob, you got to reach out to this guest to see. I've got a brand new podcast. We want to get him on. So, Jacob, thanks for connecting. But our guest today, he's a ground up, not ground up, but a ground up thinker, veteran host, education tech skewerer. He spent years mapping how students and systems collide from EdSurge to the Nieman Fellowship, turning a layered reporting into searing podcasts. Now he's got the new podcast, Learning Curve, venturing into the mess of AI in education. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Jeffrey Young. Jeff, how you doing, our friend?
Hey, thanks, Tim. Thanks to all of you for having me.
Man, you've been at this a while, kind of trying to make sense of what this, yeah, this education world. I mean, you know, Johnny and I, we're like teachers acting like radio hosts, podcast right. hosts, journalists, you know, trying to get it out there. But you're like the real deal, man. You know, true journalist, investigating everything going on in education. I'm going to spend some time talking particularly about the new podcast, Learning Curve. But, I mean, what got you into the kind of like the beat of education?
It's one of those things that, yeah, you can see those watching can see the white in my beard. And I started out as a journalist and right out of college when the internet was new. And so that goes to the topic of the day, because it was a different time, but it was also a big groundbreaking. The tech is changing the world, like society, what's gonna jobs, like all things. And it was exciting. I wanted to be a journalist. I was working at the student newspaper, and I really wanted to write about technology and see what was going on with tech and society. And so it turns out I ended up getting an internship at the Chronicle of Higher Education. Wow. And I honestly didn't even know, you know, when I was like learning what that was as a college student, you know, it wasn't something I was super familiar with. And, but it was such a great place to cover technology, because colleges were where it was at. It's a different world now. It feels like, you know, today it's the companies that are leading the AI drive. Mm. Absolutely. And the colleges are playing catch up. But back then it was really the opposite. Like, if you think of, like, where did Google come from? Stanford students, like while they were in Stanford. So, and you know, you just saw that again and again with, you know, whether it's Zuckerberg or Facebook later, but this colleges were the place to go if you wanted early access to these cool new technologies. And the professors and the students were writing about them at the Chronicle. It just turned out to be incredibly, like, so many opportunities to talk to people. And I just got hooked on covering education along the way, because I mean, it's easy, you know, you're a journalist. I love new ideas. I love like exploring something new and chasing the next story. And I think some people have asked me, like, don't you get bored of covering the same thing? But I think education and technology, both, they change so much, mm-hmm. and they change in really interesting ways that affect society and like everybody, whether you're in it or not. And so I think, it just, that combination has just been really like, just kept me. So,
well, yeah, Johnny, right. We point this out all the time. It's like, people are like, you guys have a podcast on education. Like, what do you guys talk about? You know, like bulletin boards and, you know, lesson plans at some point. What you're like, do you understand that education, what's happening in the world? If you want to, you know, education, the policy decisions, the neighborhood decisions, the international impact, it's like, you know, education, we've got it all. And, you know, and we're a little bit biased, but education, particularly public education, which is where Busted Pencils focuses on, yeah. You know, it's the foundation of democracy. And there's nothing more important than that. But Johnny, I pontificate a little bit. You take it away, my friend.
Well, no, I love that. And it's exciting to have you here, Jeff. Thanks for what you do, first of all. And one of the most exciting things, I talk to young people all the time about, you know, the changes in our careers over time, the things we see shift and move and change. And, you know, I'm with so many young journalists and communications majors, and just to see, you know, writers and writing change and content change over these years, and to see that, you know, I always remind them, just like I tell future teachers, it's one of the most exciting times in the world to be a teacher. It's also one of the most exciting, and I think it's like one of those nodal moments to be a journalist. I mean, it's really, you know, shifted and changed. And much like teachers, I think journalists are in the, you know, in the crossfires of like this vast sea of what's fact and what's information and where we learn and how we communicate. So I would say, like, listener out there, you probably either might be like, where is he going with this? Or what's he talking about? Or you're vibing with me and you're nodding your head. there's a kind of a convergence here in society, especially in North America right now and in our country and in our states, around like school teachers and journalists. They're at this intersection of where we learn about things and share that information with each other to make decisions. And making decisions together is what we do as democratic citizens. Not Democrats or Republicans, both of them, like democratic citizens, citizens in a democracy. We apply the best information we can get to decision making, and we learn, we rely a lot on our teachers and we rely a lot on journalists. And I think teachers and journalists get sort of a reputation out there, especially in this political climate we're in, and especially in this technological moment we're in. So I'm excited to have you here, Jeff. I just wanted to, that's my long-winded way to say thank you for being who you are and doing what you do. But I'm excited also to talk about, you said you've been doing this since, you know, the internet was new, which I was like, ooh, me too. That was like, I remember getting an email address. Like that,
right,
was
one of, yes.
Like, we're old, fellas, we're old. But the whole idea is like, I think we're at another moment like that, right? With AI and with all this kind of convergence on technologies, and it's transforming career pathways and what we do and how we understand information. So excited to have you here, Jeff, to talk about these things and more. Tim, I'll let you take us to break because we're getting close to it. But
wow, we got some time though. What a Saturday, but you know, Jeff, just thinking about it, I got a little time. I mean, internet to AI. I mean, that's the space we're covering. Have you thought about it like that as you put together learning curve?
Yeah, I mean, it is one of these, it feels like this is the reference point that comes back again and again of like the internet being new, how it did change things. I think there are some differences, which we can talk about, but it seemed fast with the internet, but now it's
fast.
Buckle up, everybody. Fast. Yeah, it's Busted Pencils, you know, fully leaded education talk. We got our guest, Jeff Young. He's got a great new podcast, Learning Curve, The Learning Curve. We're going to talk a lot about that, get to dig in AI and education, but internet to AI. I'm going to kind of reflect on that. Busted Pencils. We'll be right back. We're back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Dr. Tim Slecker, that's me, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, and Jacob, chairman of the board, our guest, Jeff Young, brand new podcast, launched literally August 19th, first episode, pretty sure I'll have Jeff fact check me, called Learning Curve. But Jeff has been at this edu-journalism, podcasting, audio stuff since the beginning, way back when we first had internet. And Johnny, I like the way you said, I got my first email address. I'm going to tell you what my first email address was, Tim Slecker at Siberia CyberCyber.com. CYBER. It was a small little internet provider company in York, Pennsylvania called Siberia, going off of the cyborg and the cyber. So Tim Slecker at Siberia.com. Hey, if that thing's still receiving email, I guess you can send away because I don't have access to it anymore. Jeff, but internet to AI, I want to kind of give you this question because I kind of see this as when people kind of get the change of what it means from internet to AI. Because I remember talking early on when, you know, no, was it 2022 with the first chat when it came out, you know, and within the 6 months or so, things started changing. People were like, well, I mean, come on, it's no different than Google. Right. And I was just like, I don't think you get it because I think it's really different than Google. And so to me, that's kind of like the difference of the internet was Google. AI is something different. I was wondering, you know, does that make sense to you? Am I, you know, where I'm kind of going with that?
Well, when you say chat, what exactly?
I mean, it's just the large language models as they finally broke out. You know, actually, I'll point my wife, you know, and she wouldn't say this now, but she's like, oh, so it's kind of like an advanced Google. Uh-huh. And I was like, no, honey, it's not an advanced Google. It's ontologically different.
So in other words, like how to really kind of differentiate it, I think.
I
think there's a lot of ways that it's different, right? I think on your show you even recently said how like the language model is just this predictive algorithm. It's kind of this, it's just guessing the next word or part of the word, or you know, it's in some ways it could be like a simple parlor trick, but at scale it becomes something very different because it's been trained on all the stuff we've all been typing and like all the internet's many different formats that are out there on the free open web. And now that's been ingested and put into a way that no human mind could ever, you know, parse or know all of, but this algorithm can do these predictive matching that turns out to feel very different than you might think when you just hear like, it's just going to guess the next word in this that people would likely type if they had a sequence. So I do think the trick is, I think we're still figuring out what that means and how different the applications can really be. And I actually do remember a little bit about the early internet where we weren't quite sure what to do with it. I mean, there were a lot of early things that didn't work or that were jokes, like early .com boom, there was like pets.com, which was like, it got so much investment. It's not that, it was just too early, like to be this online commerce when people weren't ready. The infrastructure wasn't there to do all the things that you needed, like returns and whatever. And just to focus on pets, you know, there were so many things that it was like kind of the right idea, and there were different parts that nobody knew what the parts of the idea would end up being the thing. And I feel like we're a little bit there because I feel like people don't really know how much these hallucinations and the mistakes that large language models make, how much that's something that can kind of be worked through and minimized, or if that's such a flaw that the applications will be limited in some ways, or that they will take a certain amount of work no matter how much billions are poured into making them. And I don't know if you guys have a thought on that, but it feels like there's just some of these pretty fundamental questions that are unknown today in the fall of 2025.
I'm thinking of that, and Johnny, I'm going to hog the mic because I was thinking about it. It's like internet was kind of like search. Go out, find stuff. It's like, yeah, if I find pets.com, you know, or, you know, all of the search engines too at the time, Ask Jeeves, right? It was just, it was always some kind of like, you know, platform to go out and find everything that's out there, right? Well, the large language model, it's not a search engine. I had a student a couple of years ago say to me, they made the switch. They went, oh my God, this isn't Google. this is an assistant. I have, and I know they anthropomorphized it a little bit, but they really got into that position of saying, it's like, it's not just, I want to know, go, oh, good, now I know. When you really start to, and I think still, you know, amateur users are still kind of one way. It's like a one-way direction. AI is a multi-directional conversation that could be sometimes hallucinated, could sometimes jump into really incredible fact. In other words, it's kind of like talking to a bunch of crazy drunk fraternity brothers on one some night. And, you know, it's just like, and how do you get the most out of it? You have to have a conversation with it, not simply ask it a question and then feel satisfied or unsatisfied. Moving that. Okay, enough from Tim. When we get back, though, learning curve, first guess, what's happening on that show. Busted Pencils, yeah. Fully Leaded. Jeff Young, our guest. Man, we'll be right back. There it is. Yeah. Holy crap. It's not almost over, halfway over. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded, Education Talk, Educated Educators Talking Education. Dr. Johnny Lupinaji Jacob, Chairman of the Board. Me, Dr. Tim Slecker, and our guest, Jeff Young, podcaster, journalist, education since the internet way back when, now brand new podcast, Learning Curve, talking about education and AI. And yeah, Jeff, you know, we've been, you know, kind of having fun talking philosophy or different whatever, you know, things like that. But you know, I got to listen to your first episode. Great guest, great interview. Thanks. What was it though that kind of led you to say, you know what, you know, you had hosted the Ed Surge podcast for like 7 years. You know, what is the kind of pivot to learning curve in AI? Like help the listener understand what's going on, a little bit of history or motivation behind learning curve.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I, like you said, I've been covering the intersection of technology and education for a long time, but the more I've done that, the more I think the bigger questions are the most interesting. And instead of just talk about the technology, it's like, where are the big changes happening? And what are the kind of like ways people are thinking about it, the narratives, if you will. And just going back to the last, like a minute ago, when you were talking about like, it's like an assistant. I think it's a question for me, like, is AI like an assistant? Let's like, or is it, can it be a tutor? Can it be like a tutor? Can it be, is it best to think of it like, you know, a co-pilot, right? These are all the various metaphors that are out there. And I think it matters the way we end up thinking about it. And I think the ways people end up coming to, like, we're at this moment of debate, if you will, as a society, both, yes, the tool companies are going to decide which things they come out with, but let's face it, if they don't come up with something that's compelling, people won't use it. Mm. Like the metaverse has not taken off despite a lot of like investment, other things that, you know, 3D TVs are not in all of our houses. Like there have been things that have been pushed, but what are people going to find that really resonates with them? How is it really going to help people be more productive, people be more fulfilled? And I hope that there's a way that we can, and in education, I think it's a very critical moment because there's a lot of changes very fast. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of disruption in the greater world. And now with this on top of it, people are worried about how can you tell if students know what they know? And that's a very valid question in this day and age. And so, but could it spark a change in teaching that makes teaching better, that and levels up people? And so I think I am somebody who I think I have my hope is that I can add something to this conversation at this moment. I feel like AI is the story. So that's why I decided I really wanted to focus on AI and education. This, like, what does it mean to teach and learn in the age of AI, like in this moment when all these people are, you know, a lot of hopes and dreams and money and all the things that journalists like to chase and understand. But I'm not somebody who's either for it. I know you've had a lot of people on the show that are kind of skeptical, very skeptical, and y'all are celebrating a lot of great uses of AI, which I think being able to go out and find that some really interesting projects and ideas and thinkers in this space that are out there on the leading edge and like get them engaged in a debate, challenge each side to think a little, like the pro people to really step back and be like, well, let's make sure we're listening to people who are worried about this really impacting negatively student, you know, how can we add guardrails? And at the same time, how can we, you know, I hear a lot of concern that if AI is not used enough, then that won't serve students well. And so it's a really interesting moment. And I think it's easy in our media age to get filtered into one group or the other. And by trying to surface both ideas together, that's the one of the main, you know, and every episode may not have both, but to over time to really explore both.
Mm-hmm. Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, I love that. You know, Jeff, you hit the nail on the head with that. We like to, you know, pick a side. It's sort of like it's a cultural habit we bring into our show. It's like, you know, Tim's a regular parishioner, maybe even a leader in the church of AI. And, you know, I'm a naysayer, even though that's not really true of either of us. We kind of converge on exactly what you said, Jeff. Like, how are we using this? This is a part of all of our lives, especially when we're talking about education, whether you're a teacher or you're a student or you're a parent out there, you know, with, you know, students in classrooms. And that's the whole point is that you have this technology that's now part of nearly everything we do. And like you referenced earlier, Jeff, at mock speed, very fast, it came into, you know, boom, it's in our classrooms. Now it's in everything. It's on all of our devices. It's, you know, it's a part of our lives. So
ready or not.
Yeah. Ready or not. So, you know, in the spirit of democracy, which is sifted through the mess of everyday life together to make decisions in the interest of the common good. I love what you're doing, hosting a podcast, having conversations that have, you know, a journalistic flair to them as well, reporting out on this idea like, hey, how is AI part of education? What are the ways that it's being used? And sort of what are those guardrails? What are those great successes? What are those epic failures? Where does it get messy? How do we talk about it? Have a dialogue, right? So that we can better understand this part of our everyday life. I love it, man. That's huge. It's in the spirit of democracy. But, you know, I think conversations are underrated. They're how we get there, whether you're a listener, like out there listening to us three have this conversation, whether you're talking about this later on, you know, tonight or tomorrow with your friends, families, and neighbors, you know, it's those conversations where we have aha moments, right? Where we learn together to better understand the world we're in. So I'm a big fan of that. I like to say, man, I'm against the AI just because, you know, yeah, in my world, you're either for it or against it. They say only Siths speak in absolutes. Well, I guess I'm Sith over here because I'm like, I'm never using AI, but that's not true at all. Right. That's just for, you know, a little bit of comedic flair because realistically, Jeff, you're right. This is the intersection right now. It's a huge one and, you know, it's not replacing teachers. It's not diminishing learning. It's not all a pile of negatives. It's also not a silver bullet. Right. So it's not this miracle cure. It's new technology that I will say, I'll wholeheartedly put my stamp on this. It's changing how we do things. And anytime we're changing how we do things, I think it's really important, you know, over my time of being an educator to take a deep breath. And as our friends at Educators Amplified, another podcast group would say, be regulated, right? Know where I stand on things by taking in information, right? And applying it to the situations that we're all in. So Jeff, I'm excited about learning curve. You know, I'll be listening, you know, Tim will be listening, you know, but tell us a little bit more about kind of for you all and for you right now. And it's like, you know, it's baby stages of this new podcast, but you've been at this for a minute. Like, tell us a little bit about some of the intersection of AI and education that you're excited about?
No, thanks. Yeah, I think that there are some explorations and questions that I'm really going to try to tackle in this season, and just kind of, you know, that's a lot of the episodes end up being about a question. The next episode that's going to drop soon is on a former president of a university who is now working on creating, like, going to the question of, like, how do you if you redesign teaching with AI in mind, what would it look like? Mm-hmm. But I'm also reaching out to a longtime teaching expert to kind of comment on the vision that he put out there in the form of this, like, kind of crazy sci-fi video that he made and put out there. So there's something at the middle that we can talk about and have a, and just, I think the story of what he's doing is interesting. The reaction is interesting. It really does make you kind of start to think about, like, what if we did start from scratch, or are we not ready to really go as far as this, or do we really want this future? And so, you know, also I'm really interested in student perspectives. I'm really interested in hearing from students, not in a sensationalistic way, not to say they're all cheaters, not to say any one thing about students, because as y'all know, there's no, I mean, students are, there's just every kind of person. We're all learning. So the question is, like, what are people that are right now, though, facing the situation we're in, which is different professors might have different policies. What do I do? Am I going to get, you know, kicked out of school for doing something that I didn't do, or getting accused of using a bot? Or is the teacher going to am I going to use so much of it surreptitiously that I'm not really learning, but I'm having a great time? I mean, and people, even if they know they're doing that, they might still do it, right? I mean, we've all done things that weren't the best decision. So it's like, how do you have it all work out? How do we create an environment that, for the most people anyway, is as good as we can do it?
I want to first point out that, no, I've never made bad decisions in my life. So I'm not sure. I know exactly. No, but you know what, you described it, though, too. It's actually, yes, a student is going to get falsely accused of using AI. Yes, a student is going to use it to circumvent and even short circuit learning at times. Yes, professors are going to potentially not actually give AI a full kind of airing, in a sense of saying what's really happening to it, in a sense of going, what do they know? What do teachers know? Because, you know, again, we only can comment on the depth of how much we actually know about it. And I think with AI, you know, and this is why I really like your first episode, I think you had a great guest there. It's a great kind of description of, okay, here's what it is. Here's what's going on. Here's a person. And here's a person kind of helping us understand who, yeah, tell us a little bit about that first guest that you had on. You only, you know, got about 3 minutes left before we're going to get you out of here for the 2 minutes left, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I talked to a professor of University College London who has this great mix of being about AI and learning. And so he was fascinating to me because he wrote a paper called Hybrid Intelligence, where he's trying to figure out what the right metaphor is. And there's a lot of things that he said he's pretty worried that it could deter, that it could give us this, you know, kind of atrophy learning for some people if they rely on it too much. But he also admitted that there's some parts where he thinks it could be very useful. Like, even he was even okay with making like a bot version of him to teach a video lesson, that he doesn't like to teach those so much. Like, that's not that exciting to him. So it's complicated. And I sort of feel like everybody's got a different thing that they're okay with automating. And how do we square that? You know, what are we going to agree that is so human? Humans need to be absolutely in charge of it. And where can we use these new LLMs and other forms of AI to really enhance things?
Yeah, moving forward. Just thinking about, I love too his concept of hybrid. It made me think about Ethan Mollick and his co-intelligence.
Sure.
Jeff, though, coming up here, where can people go and get your podcast and find out more about you?
Please do subscribe. It's learningcurve.fm, learningcurve.fm. And you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. There are a lot of things on Learning Curve, but Learning Curve, Jeff Young, you'll find it. And hope you do listen in. I'm excited about what we're coming out with.
Love it. That's our guest, Jeff Young, Learning Curve, the podcast. All of that will be in the show notes. Everybody can get it. You know what, though? We'll come back. Johnny and Tim will break it down. Bust the pencils. We'll be right back. Yeah, one more. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, me, Dr. Tim Slecker, Jacob, chairman of the boards. Woo! Great guest, Jeff Young, new podcast, Learning Curves. Check it out. Make sure to all the links to his stuff are going to be in the show notes for the podcast. Johnny, but, you know, I like, you know, because you know, we dabble, I would say, in the AI kind of world and like to have fun with it and stuff like that. I'm really looking forward to Jeff's podcast because I think, you know, he's going to bring more journalistic kind of, what do you want to say, like objectivity, asking deeper kind of questions about it that I'm really looking forward to learning more about, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim, like I said before, anytime we're having dialogues, conversations about something happening in all of our lives, we're going to learn, right? And that's one of my favorite things is being a learner. We're learners leading learners here. That's literally like my favorite phrase for referring to teachers or educators, learners leading learners, right? And so, you know, I'm excited to listen to the Learning Curve. Because, you know, we like to tease being pro or, you know, anti-AI. But, you know, in the end, what are we learning about how we're learning? And AI is part of that. It's certainly part of, you know, I've talked about it. It's become part of my teaching. It's definitely part of my students' learning experience, not just in my class, but as they, you know, they talk to me about what's happening on campus and in their courses. And, you know, I'm excited about, you know, learning from the learning curve because we do have to have these conversations. And I, especially, as I said earlier in the show, appreciate a journalistic lens. There's a craft there. Like we always talk about, you know, historians study history, you know, astrophysicists share astrophysics with us. And that's a little shout out to our friend, Dr. Ethan Siegel, right? He was a guest on show fairly regularly to help us clarify scientific consensus and things happening out in the science world. But, you know, there are, you know, particular skills that bring value to our everyday decision-making. And journalists, as I alluded to earlier in the show, they do that. So excited about the Learning Curve show. And Tim, you couldn't be more right. You know, as I'm a week into classes, you know, part of the professional development that all my peers and I were going through together at the beginning of the school year was, you know, how to integrate AI responsibly into our coursework, how to communicate expectations or fair usage of AI tools for students. And then, you know, just thinking about all the different ways we are doing engaged learning with our students. And so, you know, I'm always eager to hear how other educators are out there navigating these fast changes. And I love what you said, Tim, bringing that journalistic lens, helping us to better understand, you know, where we are at with this. It's changing fast. And there's no better way to, you know, move through change than to do it with good information. So I love that, man. I love what we got going on.
John, I got to give you an example too of kind of also the generational issue here at play when it comes to AI. I was at one of those professional developments for new faculty. And again, new faculty doesn't necessarily mean young. You know, there's a whole diversity of ages in our institution's group of new faculty. Some people fresh out of graduate school did the whole thing, you know, young 30-year-old PhD, and some older people, some quote first-time professors, second career. And but this new, and I'm gonna say it, there's the wiggly finger, Johnny. Thank you. we were talking AI, and it was about using AI, and she's a science professor, and she came up to me at lunch, and she goes, "I really appreciated the conversations you were making." I was like, "Okay, cool, thank you." She goes, "It's kind of weird that people are still asking questions about, like, are kids going to use it or should they use it?" She's like, "I kind of see it. It's like electricity. I just always use it." She goes, "I don't understand the debate about whether kids should use it, shouldn't use it." And that kind of point out, going like, uh-oh, we're now getting kind of a generational of, like, how people have already decided of going like, "I just use it." You old people having debates about when, how, why, if, we've already moved on and we're just using it. So much going on. Learning curve. Great guess, Jeff Young. But, you know, Johnny, have we come to the end here? You know what they always say, or what I always say. Now it's time for your moment of zen. They have the guns. We have the poets. Therefore, we win.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Busted Pencils. And if you want to grab more great Busted Pencils content, well, you can always head on over to Apple, Spotify, or civicmedia.com. Or, hey, visit us on our website, bustedpencils.com. And don't you dare forget, on Monday to catch homeroom episode, or on Wednesday to catch class in session, or every Friday for producer Jacob's choice. And that's right, just like today, listener, if you're out there, schedule it in your calendar, because we're back at it every Saturday, 3 p.m. Central Time, for 1 hour of your favorite, a blue collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.